Good morning, everybody. Good to see everyone out here on this beautiful fall day. How many of you were so pleased to see frost on your pumpkins? Not necessarily, huh? But it comes with the season, and you know what? We are to praise Him in every season, are we not? We're going to carry on with a series I began a couple weeks ago called Missions Possible. I want to ask you a question before we start. I want you to think about something that happened in this past, say, month that you were really pleased about. Something that happened that excited you, something that you were just so thrilled about that you were just, you know, like elated over. Can you think of anything, or did you have 30 days of dull? I'll bet if you think about it, you can think of something that happened that you were just excited about, you were pleased about. If you can think about that for a moment, now I ask you this. Did you tell anybody about it? Chances are you did. Chances are you did. If it was something that you were excited about, something you were pleased about, something that was important to you that happened, you probably told somebody about it. Would that be right? Would I be right? So many believers, though, I find, feel like they're somehow excused from sharing the greatest news in the world about the most wonderful thing that has ever happened to them. And obviously, I'm talking about sharing the good news about Jesus and what we call the Great Commission. Either they believed it was a command that was only intended for the apostles, or that it's directed to a specific few in the here and now, but they don't see it as their personal responsibility to spread the gospel. But still, you would think that the way we're wired is to share good news when we are aware of it. You would think that even if we relegate it as someone else's responsibility, out of the overflow of our hearts, it would just naturally happen. Wouldn't you think that? Should be. I believe a major part of the problem is that we think that this work of evangelism is done by preaching from a pulpit in a church on Sunday, or it's from a soapbox at a park. Yet in actuality, to evangelize is to announce good news anytime, anywhere. I want to talk to you a little bit today about this idea of inviting people to come and see, or come and hear, or come and listen to good news. It may surprise you to know that the best example, perhaps, of this in Scripture is found in Psalm 66. I'm going to be sharing some sections of it with you, but we'll be reading through the whole psalm. So if you want to open your Bibles and follow along, that would be wonderful. If you want to use the Pew Bibles, it's page 901. But in Psalm 66, the psalmist begins in verse 1 by saying, "Shout with joy to God, all the earth." Now, does that sound like that excludes you? Don't think so. "Sing the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are Your deeds. So great is Your power that Your enemies cringe before You. All the earth bows down to You. They sing praise to You. They sing praise to Your name." And then we find this word, Selah. Again, most scholars believe it's a musical rest of some type, perhaps intended for people to pause and to listen to what's being said, to let it sink in, to think about that, to reflect upon it. So let's do that. Let's think about that. We have some announcing of good news here, do we not? This is a general declaration of the goodness and the mighty power of God. But it's also a call for others to acknowledge God's goodness. Maybe you don't realize just how natural this can be in our day-to-day life. It's a modern equivalent, such as like responding to a good report with something like, "God is good," all the time. And you know, since the God's Not Dead film, people are often saying to me, "God is good," all the time. All the time, God is good. You believe that? The opportunities to do this are endless. Think about it. Someone tells you, well, the doctor says it isn't serious, or my cancer's in remission, or, you know, I just passed my test at school, or isn't it a beautiful day? We can say, praise the Lord, amen? Praise the Lord, praise God, God is good. In Jeremiah 5:24, we're told that we should revere the Lord our God, who gives autumn and spring rains in season. So we had some frost on the pumpkin, but guess what? Revere your God. Praise your God. He gives us a season for a reason. And the reason for this season, like every season, is for us to praise Him, to extol Him, to exalt Him, to declare His goodness. Amen? Even when we hear news that isn't that good, that might be devastating, we can respond with still the goodness of God. I know God is grieved. I believe He'll sort it out in time. God is just. And even though I don't know how or when, He will repay evil and He will bring justice to every situation. I know times are tough, but He's my strength in times of trouble. Is He yours? See, I can do that. I can respond that way. And so can you. We all can we not? It's not that difficult if we know how great and mighty and wonderful, glorious and good our God is. Amen? Should be as natural as breathing to respond about the goodness and glory of God in every situation. Announcing that good news. In verse 5, the psalmist says, come and see what God has done. How awesome His works in man's behalf. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in Him. He rules forever by His power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against Him. Selah. Now in this section, maybe if we try to apply it to our day-to-day life, we won't see as many natural openings for this kind of talk. But there are more there than we might think. We can point to the heavens, whether the harvest moon or the brilliant sunset or the vibrant colors along the banks of the river. The handiwork of God is all around us, and we can point to His providence. Look what He has done. Look what He has done in the past. He's our Creator, and He created it all for us. For His glory, yes, but for our need and for our good. He is good. Maybe we won't have much of a chance to speak articulately to our neighbor about the way He parted the Red Sea, as the psalmist does, or the drying up of the Jordan. You know what we can do? We can tell that story to our kids and to our grandkids. And we don't have to know all the minute details. I think that's sometimes what keeps us from doing it. We might say, well, you know, I don't know the story that well. Well, we can know the story better, amen? We can know it very well. But let us not refuse to share or be hesitant in sharing the good news about what God has done in the past because of our limited knowledge. Do you know He's worked mightily? Do you know He's rescued people in the past? Do you know how He has taken care of His people and provided for them over and over and over and over again? Tell them the highlights. God will be praised. He'll be honored. Good news will be shared. And it may be a good time in the process of that to remind them that He's still providing for us too. Yes, He provided in the past. He's still providing. In Acts 17, Paul said, He Himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. Everything you have, everything you possess, everything that is good and wholesome and a blessing to your life, who deserves the praise? Who deserves the glory? God, right? But declare it to the nations. He provides. He provides. He protects. He cares for His children. Praise be to God. Pick up in verse 8. The psalmist says, praise our God, O peoples. Let the sound of His praise be heard. Doesn't sound like we're to keep it to ourselves. Doesn't sound to me like we should be quiet about it or subdued about it. Why? He's preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, O God, tested us, you refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs, yes. But you let men ride over our heads, yes. But we went through fire and water. But you brought us into a place of abundance. See, here we go. Can you relate to how God has intervened in your life? See, he's making it more personal now. He's talking about how he has rescued us. There's that personal pronoun. Us, we, our. What he's done for us, preserved our lives, kept our feet from slipping. Has he not healed and helped you in your life? Has he not answered prayers and done tremendous things for your church family, for your physical family, for friends and neighbors? Has he not? It'd be foolish to suggest that life's always easy, especially when we've neglected God, when we rejected him and his instruction. In fact, hear me now. It's worthwhile to tell others how our selfish decisions sometimes brought misery rather than peace to us. That's what the psalmist is doing. He's talking about, yes, there was discipline, there were difficulties, there were problems, but he knows it was because they rejected God, because they didn't listen to him, because they didn't honor him, because they didn't praise him, because they went their own way, and difficulty came. But listen, he admits that, he confesses that, but he also tells how they were rescued when they cried out for help, again and again and again and again. Can anyone relate to that? Ever made any foolish decisions? Ever done something that brought you heartache when you know you shouldn't have done it in the first place, but your selfish desire or your wants at the moment, they just led you down a path, you did what you wanted to do, and then you're hurting, you're broken. And you think, oh my goodness, I shouldn't have done that. I know I shouldn't have done that. What was I thinking? Problem is, a lot of times we weren't thinking. But when we think and we call out to God, what does he do? He intervenes. He intervenes time and again. When our hearts are pure and we admit that, when we confess that, he comes to rescue. So can you tell a friend or a neighbor about how God has answered prayers in your life? Can you do that? Should be able to do that. Again, so many people are concerned, well, I can't witness, I can't testify, because you know what, I don't have all the book chapters and verses memorized. I don't have all the scripture. I don't have the gospel tract in front of me. Can you tell the good news about what God has done in your life? How he's intervened, how he's rescued you, how he's saved you. Yes, you can. And no one can tell your story like you can. No one can. Tell it. Share it. Share it. We call out to him in repentance, and he comes, and he intervenes, and he rescues time and time again. But how quickly we forget. Our PTLs are sometimes so brief. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And then we go on and get into another catastrophe, another situation, call out to him, he rescues us, praise you, Jesus. But maybe it's just a word or two quietly said to ourselves and to him. But remember, that's not what the psalmist is calling us to do. Don't keep it to yourself. Yes, it's personal. Praise him, but do it out loud in the crowd. Amen? We should do that. We should be motivated to do that. In Psalm 138, verse 3, David says, on the day I called on you, Lord, you answered me. Wow. I cannot begin to tell you how many days in my past that I called on the Lord and he answered, because every day I did, he did. Listen close to the next part. In verse 13 and following, it says, I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you. Vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. I will sacrifice fat animals to you in an offering of rams. I'll offer bulls and goats. Selah. Now here the psalmist promises to serve God and fulfill his vows. The vows that he made to God when he called out to him in trouble. I want you to hear that. Who hasn't called out to God at a time of trouble and offered a bargaining chip. Now, we would call it that. We don't view it that way. But we ask him to rescue us or deliver us or restore something to us, saying that, if you do, God, I'll never forget. God, if you'll do this, well, I'll praise you forever. God, if you'll do this, I'll serve you with everything that I have, everything that I've got, everything. Yet, too often, we lack the follow-through. I'm not saying we're not sincere when we say it. The vow, the promise, the pledge, we mean it. But again, when things are going better for us, we can so quickly forget not only what he's done, but what we promised to do. Think a moment. Do you think sometimes the testimony of people seems empty or shallow because they forget to fulfill, they neglect to fulfill their promises? Can people see that we are truly grateful for what God has done in our lives? Can they see it? Do they see us devoting our time, our talent, our treasure to Him and His purposes? Can they see that we're more than just talk, like so many who would say, God, rescue me and I'll do it? Can they see that we actually do what we say to honor God for what He's done? And it's not that we can ever pay Him back, but it's a debt that we really do owe. And it's a debt that He's worthy of us trying to do our best to pour out and show Him honor and praise and grateful gratitude in everything that we do. In Psalm 51, 12 and following, David declared that if God would forgive him and restore to him the joy of his salvation, that he would make greater sacrifices to God and teach other transgressors. I think that's interesting. He says, you don't really desire those sacrifices, but if you'll save me, if you'll rescue me, if you'll forgive me, if you'll restore to me the joy of my salvation, guess what I'm going to give you? Sacrifices. Sacrifice I know will be more pleasing now because my heart is right before you. It's not just empty things I'm doing, trying to buy your love, but I'm showing you gratefulness for your love, for your mercy, for your deliverance. That I'll do that and you'll be pleased with them, he says. You'll be pleased. And I'll teach transgressors your ways. That's what he says. So often, we've been rescued, but we fail to tell people how they can be rescued. We fall short on letting them know about how good God would be to them too, and desires to be to them, how much He loves and cares for them, how much purpose He has for them in His kingdom. And it seems like David did promise to do that, and it seems like he is doing that. If we read on in verse 16, he says, "Come and listen, all who fear God. Let me tell you what he's done for," now it gets real personal, "me. For me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I cherished sin in my heart, the Lord wouldn't have listened. But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. Praise be to God who's not rejected my prayer." Now catch this. "Or withheld his love from" who? "Me. Me." Again, personal, very personal, it should be. Too often we talk in generalities. We tell people God so loved the world, and certainly He did, but we fail to be moved by how much He loved us, how much He personally loved us and continues to love us. The Bible says He knew us and loved us before we knew Him. He put a plan into place before we were even born to send His one and only Son to save us from ourselves. And in the fullness of time, that's exactly what He did. Exactly what He did. Romans 5, the Apostle Paul writes, "God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He's given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: we were still sinners. Christ died for us. Talking with a young woman the other week who was struggling with the very concept that God loved her. She had difficulty believing that. Difficulty accepting that she could be loved. Because she felt so unloved in this world. So I stressed that whenever I begin to feel discouraged by present circumstances or overwhelmed with worry or fear or feel betrayed by others, I look to the cross. When I do, I remember the incredible love God has for me. And though I may not understand why things are going the way they are, I know that He will not abandon me in my distress. He will not, because He loves me so. He loves me so much. I know that. How do I know that? He gave His Son to die for me. I need never question His love for me. I may not understand why things are happening or going the way they are, but I might never question God's love for me. He proved it. He demonstrated it in Christ on the cross. I know He loves me. Whatever's going on, He loves me. Whatever's happening, He loves me. He won't abandon me. He won't leave me in this. He will deliver me in the fullness of time. Praise be to God. Do you know that? Do you know that God loves you? That He proved that? Do you know that in your heart of hearts? Do you know that? My daughter in Michigan, got to spend some time with her over this past weekend. She sometimes gets overwrought with concern about things in her life. It can be a health issue. It can be a concern at work, a problem at home. Many times she calls and her heart is just hurting. When she calls, I can rarely change her circumstance. I'm so often powerless to change what she's concerned about. But I listen and I pray for her. And I always assure her of my love and remind her of God's love. And you know what? She always says, "Thank you, Daddy." I needed to hear that today. I need to be reminded of that today. It makes a difference. I feel that's often the way it is for me when I call on my Heavenly Father. I know He always picks up. He always answers. And He always listens. And I know He can change things. He has the power to change circumstances. He has the power to deliver me right now, right in the moment. I know that. He doesn't always give me what I want, though. Because He knows what I need. He knows what's best for me. And what I need most of all is to know that He loves me. To be assured of His love. And He always gives me that. Always does. As the passage says, through His Spirit He pours His love into my heart. And He can do that for you too. He can do that for you too. And you know what? The good news is He can do that for anyone who will give their heart to Him. He won't trash a heart given to Him. He won't refuse a heart given to Him. He'll receive it in love and pour love into it. That's what He does. That's what He does. If you know of that love yourself, couldn't you tell someone just He loves you? He loves me. He loves you. He loves you. For the same reason I know He loves me, you can know He loves me. The same thing, because He did it for you too. There shouldn't be a one of us who can't tell a neighbor or a friend or a family member of God's great love for us. Not a one of us. How He blesses us again and again. How He's rescued us over and over. How He's done so many great things. There's not a one of us who shouldn't be able to sing His praises, declare His praises, declare His goodness, and write out loud. Write out loud. No embarrassment, no shame, but with excitement and joy. What keeps us from doing that? I think at least sometimes it could be that we're just not convinced other people are going to see it as good news the way we do. They're not going to see it the same way. They're not going to perceive it that way. Here's an example for you. I've been having some trouble with the ignition on my Honda. This is a 1997. It's got 190-some thousand mile on it. Things happen, right? Breaks down. But again, I couldn't get the key out of the ignition. Couldn't get it out. I tried. I did all the things that it tells you to do. I couldn't get it out. So guess what I do? I consult Google. Tell me what to do here. And they have all kinds of ideas. Come to find out, it's an electrical problem in the switch. And I read somewhere in that Googling, it says, this part was recalled by Honda years ago. You know, you should contact them. I thought, are you kidding me? They're not going to pay any attention to me. This is a 1997 CRV. It's got 190-some thousand mile on it. Recall? Are you kidding me? But I checked with Honda. Guess what? Put in the VIN number. It's covered. I call Honda. They say, yeah, we'll order the part. We'll call you when it's ready. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've told a lot of men that story, because I think they'll see the good news in it. Haven't told as many women. Haven't told as many people who I think, well, they're not going to care. But see, I was excited about that. I told a lot of people about that. I've now told you about that. But see, I think that's the way we are sometimes with the good news that God has given us. We have this defect, but we've been recalled. And it won't cost us a thing. The price has already been paid. All we got to do is come, and He restores. He'll make us like new and empower us to go on. Good news, amen? Good news. But a lot of people don't realize they've got a defect within them. They don't realize that there's something wrong. They don't realize there's a problem. And we think, well, they won't consider this good news. I'll talk to them and they'll just pay no attention. But the reality is that they may go down through life, you may go down through your life, and ignore the recall notice. But eventually, and hopefully not too late, you'll discover, I'm dead in the water here. I'm stuck. And I can't go forward. But God has good news today. Bring Him your broken life. He'll give you a new one. Bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Good news. Share the good news. You see how you can take an everyday story and turn it into a story about Jesus? If your heart's so inclined, you can do that. If you haven't accepted Him yet, if you haven't experienced His love, tasted His goodness, come and see. Come and experience. And let us help you to be introduced to the One who loves you so much that He gave everything for you. Let's stand and sing together, How Deep the Father's Love for Us.